Well, it is good to be here. Brothers and sisters, good morning. Everyone, good morning. It's quite a view from up here. I'm enjoying looking out at you. You're a good bunch of people to look out at. Do you know who Jim Elliot is? Yes? Okay. He's one of the missionaries who lost his life trying to reach a remote tribe of people in South America. And he's famous as a modern-day martyr. Now, there's something that he said that's been repeated many, 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 many places. And that is, and you can say it with me if you know it, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose.
Yeah.
He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He's talking about this life and the things of this life and eternal life. And the one doesn't even compare to the other. I'm going to speak today a little bit about preparing for heaven. Now, I am speaking about something that only applies to Christians, but I think will be of interest to everyone. However, there's a danger when you hear a message like this to get the wrong idea about heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven by doing good things. You are not automatically bound for heaven just because you're a generally nice person or attend church regularly. Entry into heaven is something that only God can give you. He does it through Jesus Christ. Though I'm going to talk about heaven and reward there, don't confuse this with earning God's favor or salvation. These he freely gives to whoever believes in him, to whom he will. But this message about reward in heaven is for those of us who are Christian, who are already in God's family. If you are not a Christian, I invite you to listen. And perhaps you will become one. Let's begin with our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus talked a lot about money. He even said more about money than he did about heaven or hell. He knew that money is important to us. With it, we can buy good things for ourselves and good things for the people that we love. With it, we can help spread the glory of God. With it, we can plant it and like seeds and reap rewards. It is important, but it is important that we don't let it be more important to us than God himself. He will be second to none in your life, not second to money, nor to family, nor to work or pleasure, second to none. He demands first place in your life. So how do you put God in first place, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you did, because that's what I'm going to talk about today, a little bit. The first point is, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth. If you do, know that it won't last. Moths will come in and eat it. Rust will slowly corrode it and destroy it. Or thieves will steal it. Including the worst, the greatest thief of all, death. You can't take it with you. Have you ever seen a moving van driving down the road following a hearse? It doesn't happen. John D. Rockefeller was one of the wealthiest men who ever lived. When he died, someone asked his accountant how much money he had left. His accountant said, he left all of it. I saw a mansion in Ponca City where my sister used to live, Ponca City, Oklahoma, and it was built by a rich oil man by the name of Marland. It took 3 years to construct it, and it contains 43,561 square feet of floor space, and it's distributed over 4 levels. I did some calculations, and that's about 60 times the size of an average 3LDK here in Japan. 43,561 is very close to an acre, if acres mean anything to you, of land. And that's all in one building. There are 55 rooms, including 10 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms, 7 fireplaces, and 3 kitchens. It takes 861 light bulbs to light the mansion. It has gold inlaid ceilings, marble floors, and a grand ballroom for parties with a fireplace 2 meters wide and almost as high. This is a picture of the ballroom. It would cost over $2 million today just for the ceiling and the chandelier in the ballroom. The bedrooms are nicer than any living room in any home that I've lived in. They even have their own fireplaces. They have mahogany paneled rooms off of each bedroom that were used as closets. And these closets are as big as bedrooms in some of the places I've lived in. There was a huge swimming pool behind the house with a riding stable with horses further on behind that. It looked like a palace from outside, because as Marland was growing up, he had a dream of living in a palace. It was really beautiful. I toured the place with my parents and Jill back before we had children. And I thought, wow, this is great. I would like to live in a house like this. Maybe I should try and get rich. But then I heard something that put it in perspective. Marland himself only lived there for 9 months. And then his business went bad, and he was forced to move out because he couldn't support the upkeep of the place. Now it's owned by the city of Ponca, and it's used to raise money by giving tours. Treasures on earth do not last long. Even if you manage to hang on to it throughout your life, you still leave it behind. Okay, everybody's okay with that. You've heard that before. All right, the part that hit me especially recently was the second point. Do lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus isn't saying don't store up treasure. He's saying that we should store up treasure, but we should store it up in heaven. It will last there. Our first treasure is knowing Jesus. Our relationship with Him, the Creator of everything that is, the lover of our soul, the one who gave it all up for us. Do you want to be loved unconditionally, no matter what you say or do, eternally and selflessly? That all happens in Jesus. Our second treasure is admittance or entrance into heaven. It is the greatest place, period. Don't let comic book images of somebody sitting bored on a cloud trying to strum a harp as an image of heaven detract you from it. It's not like that at all. The Bible tells us a lot about heaven, too. There are no more tears, no more pain, but no more sorrow. Only joy. Feasting with God and other saints. Celebrating. Creating. If you are creative now, you'll be able to be creative then too. Ruling. Living in mansions and walking on streets of gold. I think someday, perhaps we should have a sermon on heaven. It's really a great place. And it's not wrong to look forward to it. In fact, the Bible says that we should look forward to it. It helps us to persevere when things get tough here. Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus endure the cross? He endured it so that you and I could be saved, so that we could have eternal life, right? That's true. But it also tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that he did it for the joy set before him. The part that I really would like to get across is Jesus, we're to look at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So yes, while he did it for us, and there's a song that says, I was on his mind when he was on the cross. Perhaps you've heard that. That's a sweet song and a sweet thought. But this verse here says, heaven was on his mind when he was on the cross. He was looking forward to it. And if we look forward to heaven when we're going through difficult times, that will give us strength and determination to persevere and to not lose heart. It is good to look forward to heaven and the rewards there. How do we lay up treasure in heaven? First, realize that God owns everything to start with. We are just taking care of it for him. When Jill and I, and Jonathan had come along by that point, were students in seminary, we didn't have very much money, and nobody else in seminary had very much money either. Our neighbors, the wife, worked for a lawyer in town, and one weekend, the lawyer let her borrow his nice new Jaguar car, which is a really nice car. Now, they were used to driving an old Dodge Colt. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's a real tin can kind of car. Not much to it. And so for a weekend, they got to drive around in luxury in this Jaguar. And let me tell you, they took really, really good care of it because they knew when the weekend was over, they were going to have to give it back to the lawyer in good condition. Well, the earth and everything that exists is God's. And we will be giving it back to him. Let's look at the first slide, Psalm 24, 1. Let's read this one together. The earth is the Lord's, the world, and all who live in it. It all belongs to him. Next slide, please. And again, let's read it together. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. You know, you feel like I go out and I work really hard and I earn money and then I can buy food and clothes and pay rent and take care of my family. But really, the ability to do that comes from God. And he gives you the responsibility to use it. Next verse, please. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Do you not know, together please, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Your body itself, is not your own. So the world is God's, the ability to work and make money and be creative is given to you by God, and your very self is owned by God. It all belongs to God. You don't have to worry about it. It's his. Just do with it as wisely as you can, asking him for guidance. Should we expect a reward from God for doing good? I'm seeing both directions. This is nodding and shaking. Well, I would have shook my head until recently, but now I've started to nod it. And here's why. I grew up thinking it was kind of selfish to expect a reward for doing good. It's bad motivation. You're supposed to do good just because it's the right thing to do, not because you expect a reward. I had that beaten into me, and most of you probably have too. And you think, where's he going with this? It can't be right. Okay. Well, that's very true. But in somehow in my thinking, I morphed that into the idea that I shouldn't do good at all. Well, no, I didn't. I should do good in order to receive a reward from God. Also, we know that you can't do anything good enough to earn God's love and forgiveness. There's nothing that you can do that would make him love you more. Nothing you can do to earn his favor. He already has given it to you. So don't worry about trying to do that. Try harder so that God might maybe accept you on a good day. It's not like that at all. But from this, I came up with the idea that it was selfish and self-serving to think about receiving reward from God in heaven for good deeds done here. And the first few times I heard someone speak about this, I thought, I don't know about that. Well, let me go through some passages today that I think will back it up. And as you think about it and God guides you in your understanding of the Bible, which is where we get our directions for life and theology, maybe he'll show you something. Let's start with a slide from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read this together, please. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. You will be rewarded for the good that you do. What it says, right? Okay, next slide, please. Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Blessed are you, together please, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And next one, please. Rejoice together. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Blessed are you when people persecute you, and great is your reward in heaven. Right there it says it. You will be rewarded for being faithful to Jesus, especially when others are against you. Next slide, please. Luke 14, 13 and 14. Together, please. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You will be repaid. You will be rewarded for giving to people who are in need. That's what the point of this is. Not just other people who are doing fine, but people who need the help. And you will be rewarded for it. Next verse, please. Luke 6, 35. Together. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. There it is again. Reward. You will be rewarded for loving and doing good to your enemies. But wait, there's more. Next verse, please. Matthew 19, 21. Together. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Are you getting the pattern here about the rewards? Next verse, please. Matthew 10, 42. Together, please. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. You will be rewarded for even small acts of kindness. And then one more verse from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Together, please. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. A scroll of remembrance. God is keeping a record, a book of remembrance, which he will look at when he judges. Can you imagine everything you're doing being written down in a book that God's going to look at later when you're standing in front of Him? When you helped that little child that was lost, that was written in the scroll. When you loaned the money to the guy that needed to get back home immediately and didn't have enough himself, and you knew that you probably would never get the loan repaid, that's written in the scroll. The money you put in the offering, that's written in the scroll. The child in Uganda that you support so that he can eat and go to school, that's written in the scroll. The money that you send to help the missionary translating the Bible for that remote tribe, that's written in the scroll. Can we really expect reward for good deeds? Will it make a difference when we get to heaven? Is it real? Well, is it written in the Bible? Yes. Do we base our belief about God and heaven on the Bible? Yes. Then this is real. Paul, a missionary, the Apostle Paul, was writing to some supporters of his. And he said, I'll just read this one. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. He said, I'm not looking for the gift. I don't really need this money that you sent me because God's taken care of me. However, in this instance, He's using you to take care of me. But really, it's something that's going to be to your account, to your credit with God. And when you give it, it's like a sacrifice. In the Old Testament times, they had incense that they would burn, and it was an offering to God, and they had, of course, they had the live animal sacrifices and all that. And it says that was a sweet-smelling aroma to God because it showed people's dedication to Him and their willingness to give up of the best that they had. And Paul is saying here, which is part of the Holy Bible, that when we give, when these Philippian Christians gave to him, it was to their account in God's scroll. And it was like a beautiful smelling sacrifice to God. This is biblical. If it were wrong to be motivated to give for the reward we will get, then Jesus wouldn't have presented it that way, would he? The reward is His idea, not ours. And so the third and final point today is that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In his little book, The Treasure Principle, Randy Alcorn wrote about talking with a woman by the name of Laverne. Laverne was dying from cancer. She didn't have long on earth. Alcorn writes, she was crying, not because she was going to die, but because I asked her to talk about giving. Through tears, she said, giving melts me. It blows me away to know that God's chosen me to give. It won't be long before I see Him face to face. I just want to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Suddenly Laverne laughed. I mean, what else matters? She said. Why should I care about anything else? She understood it because she was really close to death. But it applies to all of us, no matter how close or how far you are from the day of death. What else really matters? Later, Alcorn wrote, he who lays up treasures on earth spends his life backing away from his treasures. To him, death is loss. He who lays up treasures in heaven spends his life He who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. He's moving daily toward his treasures. To him, death is gain. It's coming, death. Don't know when exactly, but it is coming. And you could either build a treasure here and constantly be going farther and farther away from it, seeing it get dim until you die and it's gone. Or you can build the treasure in heaven and constantly be moving day by day, year by year, step by step, closer and closer to your treasure. Why did I preach this message today? Is it to get you to work harder in order to get God to love you more? Absolutely not. You couldn't get him to love you more, even if you tried. He already loves you so much. Is it to get you to give money to the church? No, though that's not a bad thing. Is it to get you to give more money to missionaries so that more people can hear about Jesus Christ? No, though that also is a good thing. I preach this message today for you, so that you could benefit. I don't want you to miss out on the joy of giving here and now, and especially the reward in heaven. When you get to the end of your life, what will you have to show for it? What do you want to have to show for it? Randy Alcorn said it well. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. We're all getting closer day by day to when we will meet the Lord. Are you looking forward to it? I hope so. If you aren't, don't you want to be able to look forward to it? Imagine this life is the dot. There's a dot and an arrow here on the overhead. Imagine this life is the dot, and eternity is the arrow extending out from it. The dot is a set time, 70 years, give or take, a few decades maybe. The line is eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years is just the beginning. 10 million years is still just the beginning because there's no end. But the dot, 70 years, maybe. This life is just the dot compared to eternity. But what you do here and now, in this little time, will carry over forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we praise you. We thank you because you are so merciful to us. You loved us before we even knew who you were. You came to us in the form of a servant, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to rise from the dead, breaking the power of death. And you come to us now, 2,000 years later, as the Holy Spirit breathes on us and moves among us. Help us, Lord, to know and to understand your word and you. Thank you for the salvation that you give us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for heaven, for mansions in glory and streets of gold and celebration and joy. And thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity here and now as we look forward to that time to prepare for it. Help us to do good for your glory and for our good. Help us to understand clearly, Lord, that this is not a way to earn your favor. This is not a way to gain salvation. But that is something you have given to us as we have believed in you and trusted you. But help us to be mature believers, brothers and sisters in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.